Isaiah chapter number 64 tonight, and I'm going to kind of pick up where we left off this morning. The Bible said in Isaiah chapter 64, "Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence, as when the melting fire burneth, the fire causeth the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence." You could just think about what our ears have already heard tonight, the burden of this man's heart is to make our Lord's name known among the nations, that that nation someday might tremble at His presence. The Bible said in verse number 3, "When thou didst terrible things, which we looked not for, thou camest down, the mountains flowed down at thy presence. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither have the eye seen, O God, besides thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. Thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness. Those that remember thee in thy ways, behold, thou art wroth, for we have sinned in those as continuance, and we shall be saved. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. There's none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us, and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father, we're the clay. Thou art potter, and we all are the work of thy hand. Be not wroth very sore, O Lord, neither remember iniquity forever. Behold, see, we beseech thee. We are all thy people. Thy holy cities are a wilderness. Zion is a wilderness. Jerusalem is a desolation. Our holy and our beautiful house, where our fathers praised thee, is burned up with fire, and all our pleasant things are laid waste. Wilt thou refrain thyself for these things, O Lord? Wilt thou hold thy peace and afflict us very sore? I am sought of them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me unto a nation that was not called by my name." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this service tonight. And Lord, it's a humbling and a sobering thought, our Lord, to think about our Father, the responsibility that you've given the church of the living God to go into all the world and teach and preach the gospel to every creature. Lord, I know tonight, our Father, you wouldn't give us a responsibility that we were not able to fulfill. God, I pray tonight in the name of Jesus, you'd keep your hand, our Father, upon our church. God, I pray you'd keep your hand upon our missionaries, upon our mission program. God, I pray tonight, Lord, that you'd keep your hand upon this precious family that's in our midst and in our presence tonight. God, I ask you tonight in the name of Jesus, Lord, meet the needs. God, I know sometimes, our Lord, the needs are great, but Lord, they're never greater than our great God. Lord, I pray tonight that you'd stir us up in this service, and God, that you'd get the glory, and God, that we'd be changed as a result of being here this evening. Lord, we love you. I pray, God, tonight, in Jesus' name, you'd love on us a little while. Help us, our Father, to be more like Jesus when we leave than when we came. In thy name we pray. Amen and amen. We began this morning talking about this text. We gave you a little bit of the history this morning. And Isaiah coming in here in Isaiah chapter number 64, he uses a phrase, "Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens." And we talked to you this morning how that we can meet together and we can meet together and we can meet together. But that doesn't mean we're going to have revival. We're going to have revival when the Lord comes down in our meeting. Amen. How many believes tonight He wants to come down? How many believes He's just looking for a place to come down? A place where He'd be welcome. Amen. I hate to say this tonight, but it's the truth. Brother Mike will tell you as he travels, we go to some churches where I believe with all my heart He's standing outside knocking. He's just wanting to get in. Amen. But I praise the Lord tonight that there are churches where He's welcome. There are homes where He's welcome. Amen. And I praise the Lord tonight that I believe He's welcome here. And I want us to see tonight as we review just a little bit. We saw a desperation in Isaiah's voice this morning as he cries, "Oh." And we tried to challenge you this morning. Let's get that back in our prayer life. Yeah. We say, "Oh God." My prayer tonight, Brother Mike, is, "Oh God, raise that church up. Oh God, save them babies. Amen." And you know, my prayer tonight as I sat there and thought about Brother Mike and how that God dealt with his heart. I mean, God deal with one of our young people. God call somebody from our youth group. Amen. Raise somebody up and say, "I must go and preach the Word of God." Amen. And tell them of a Savior. The desperation. That was the first word we looked at this morning. And I don't want to scare you tonight, but I got 7 words. And we got the 2 of them this morning. Amen. You know, one thing about pastoring, Brother Mike, you don't have to be in a hurry. Amen. Glory to God, just uncouple and couple her back up. Amen. We had that word desperation. How many believe between now and revival time, we could be just a little bit more desperate if we just wait on the Lord. Amen. Get before the Lord. Amen. Beg the Lord to do something. That everybody would know He did it when it's done. Yeah. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens. We talked about He was desperate for His presence. He was desperate for His purpose to make His name known. And He was desperate for His power that He might do terrible things. Amen. That meaning wonderful. And then this morning we talked about in verse number 4, not only is there a desperation in the first 3 verses, but in verse number 4 there's a revelation. The Bible said there, "For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, nor have eyes seen." When you go over into Romans and you read that, you go over into Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and you read that verse of Scripture, the next verse says, "But they're revealed unto us by the Spirit." Amen. I believe the Spirit of God wants to reveal some things to His people. Amen. I believe that's what revival is all about. Amen. Now let me give you the 3rd word tonight. I believe with all of my heart that this is what Isaiah is begging God for. Not only for, we see the desperation in his voice and we see a revelation as a result of God coming down, the Lord coming down and rending the heavens. But I believe it requires something tonight. It requires something that many times, I believe, that requirement will not be met. But it requires preparation. You say, "Preacher, where do you see that tonight?" How many believe tonight that, well, I just say it like this. Brother Mike, you and Miss Paul are our honored guests in our church. We've tried to make a little preparation. But could you imagine Jesus coming down to your house? This Eve, I believe if Jesus was coming in the morning, then you'd probably be up most of the night trying to catch up, wouldn't we, baby? Amen. Making a little preparation, amen, down there at our house. He said, "Preacher, what are you trying to say?" I'm trying to say this. I don't believe revival just happens. I believe revival must be prepared for. God wants to prepare us, amen. And I'll show you tonight what I mean. Look here in the verse of Scripture. The Bible said in verse number 64, or chapter 64 and verse 5, "Thou meetest him." I mean, wants to meet him. That's what revival is, meeting up with Jesus, amen. The Bible said, look at the preparation, "Thou meetest him." There's three things right here. Though number one, the word is rejoice. "Thou meetest him that rejoiceth," amen. God's not looking for a people with their chin on the ground. God's looking for a people say, "Hey, it might be rough in Washington, but it's all right in my Father's house." Amen. He's looking for a people that rejoice. He said, "Preacher, there's not much to rejoice in." Listen to me. If you don't get anything else I say tonight, listen to me. How many's here tonight and you said, "Preacher, my name is written in heaven"? How many say amen? I'll tell you what the Word of God said. It said, "Don't rejoice because the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your name's written in heaven." I'll tell you something, that right there ought to get you through. Rejoice. Because your name is written in heaven. There are people in this room tonight. Your children are saved. And your children love Jesus. And surely God must have spoke to your heart a while ago when Brother Mike, he's not trying to put down other men of God or other people whose children aren't saved. But he's wanting to say, "Hey, I want to magnify my Lord and thank God my kids are saved. And they're in the house of God." I'll tell you something tonight. We need to rejoice. But watch this. Not only is there a requirement in the preparation of rejoicing, but the Bible said this. The next word is the word righteousness. You see, worketh righteousness. God is looking for a people that are prepared for revival. In other words, they're not just rejoicing, but they're walking in the path of righteousness. They're doing. They're not just hearers of the Word of God. They're prepared for revival. Amen. Because they're not just rejoicing because their name's written in heaven. They're not just rejoicing because God showed them something in the Scripture. They're not just rejoicing because they had the privilege to see somebody saved. But they're walking in righteousness. They're just going on with God. Going on with God. Ever since I got saved, always, 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 always. Brother Mike, I know you can relate to this, but there's been a special place in my life for older men of God. Always since I got saved. And I believe the reason for that is every time I look at them, I think down inside I can make it. Brother Ralph, would you... told us about the old preacher that went home to be with Jesus last week. Down in my heart, Brother Ralph said he fought a good fight. He finished his course. He kept the faith. Down in my heart, I just say, I can make it. By the grace of God, he made it. I can make it. It stirs me up to go on with God. Righteousness. Righteousness. God said, in preparation for revival, not only is there a rejoicing involved in that preparation, but there's righteousness involved. And that just simply is, do right! Do right! By the way, doing right is not always just about stopping doing wrong. That's certainly part of it. But sometimes it's about start doing right. Sometimes it's not the sins of commission. It's not what we're doing that's robbing us of revival, but it's what we're failing to do that's robbing us of revival. Amen. The Bible said, "To him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it's sin." There's some people in this room got a whole lot of experience under their belt. Amen. And we know what we're supposed to be doing. And God has a word for us tonight. Get at it! Do it! Whatsoever he saith unto you. If the Catholics would just take that and run with it, amen, they could get something from Mary. Say amen. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Do it. Do it. righteousness. Not only is there the word there in that verse, rejoiceth and worketh righteousness, but look at this word. The Bible said, those that remember thee. I love it when the Bible just alliterates itself. Amen. God said, you want to prepare for revival? Rejoice. You want to prepare for revival? Do what's right. Just walk in righteousness. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something that will prepare your heart for revival. And that's just begin to remember. Just begin to remember. Just begin to remember. Remember where you were when He found you. Remember what you'd be if He hadn't have found you. And where you might be if He hadn't have found you. Amen. My home down in Hawkins County. By the way, that helicopter idea don't sound too bad, Brother Brian. Amen. Amen. If I can't have a genie where I can just wiggle my nose and be here, amen, a helicopter would be the next best thing. Amen. But I got a home down there. Praise God, I got more than a house. I got a home. Hey, a whole lot of people got a house, they got no home. It's built in 1963. He said, preacher, I wouldn't even tell it if my house was that old. I'm proud of my house. You see, just 20 years ago, Brother Mike, just 20 years ago, my brother, he rented a U-Haul truck and rented a storage building and put my furniture in it while I moved into the basement of my dad's. When I was between churches, he said, why would your brother do something like that? Because I couldn't afford to do it myself. He said, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say before the preacher blows up and sticks his chest out and says, boy, I tell you what, I've got it made. Amen. Maybe I ought to just remember a little bit. Amen to God. Remember where He found me. Remember what He's done for me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Remember, I don't deserve a roof over my head. I don't deserve shoes on my feet. I don't deserve a home in heaven. But thank God tonight, as I remember, you know what it does? It kind of stirs up something down inside of me. That old 1987 Chevrolet pickup. They come along, brother, that thing had a 2.8 liter engine in it. They come along with a 4.3, Brother Mike, and they said a 4.3 was a 350 with two cylinders cut off. I said, well, the one I got must be the two cylinders they cut off. Amen. I mean, it was weak as a cat. Amen. It was a great vehicle in the snow because it didn't have enough power to spin a wheel. In the snow, it wouldn't spin a wheel. Amen. I set me a bucket of ashes in the back of that old truck. We had been cleaning up the house and getting newspapers. I mean, boys, I had it all in there. Even had a couple of gas cans in there. I was going to go to the dump the next day, then run and get some gas. And one night, I don't know what made me do it, brother. Normally, I take the ashes and I pour them over the fence. There's a fence on that side of my property and a fence on that side. And just whichever way the wind's blowing, say amen right there. That determines which fence you throw the ashes over. If you ever throw them over and the wind's blowing the wrong way, you won't do it again. You'll just do that one time. Amen. Some of y'all grinning like you've done that. Amen. That stuff don't come out of your teeth and your nose and your ears too good. So I said, you know what? I'm going to the dump tomorrow. I said, I'll just set that old bucket of ashes. It's been sitting on the porch for 3 days, Brother Joe. I said, I'll just set that bucket of ashes over in there, and instead of taking it to the fence, I'll just take it to the dump, dump it in there. Well, about 2 o'clock in the morning, it come a storm, and the wind got to blowing. And my son got up at 2 o'clock in the morning, and he's standing there getting him a drink of water at the kitchen sink, and he said, Dad's truck's on fire. And he said, Dad's truck's on fire like that right there. Well, you know what happened? I'll tell you what happened. That wind got stirring in that bucket.
And that wind found something down in that bucket that wasn't dead yet. You know what we need? We need to remember. And we need to let that wind get the stern in our bucket. Amen. I'll guarantee if that wind will get the stern in our bucket, it'll find something down in there that ain't dead yet. Amen. And glory to God, begin to blow on it and begin to make a fire come alive in our heart again. Amen. Isaiah said, oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens and come down. Oh, God. Brother Mike, if you ever walked up on Dr. Garris praying, I guarantee you, there was an O in his prayer. Oh, God. Oh, God. A desperation. A revelation. Reveal yourself to us, Lord. But there's got to be some preparation. I love it. Because the revival flyers are being mailed out. My wife and I are still thinking of people we need to mail them to. I'll tell you something right now. That's part of the preparation. But listen to me carefully, church. That's not all of the preparation. Amen. We need to pray. We need to rejoice. We need to remember. Amen. Remember. 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 The preparation, it involves rejoicing in righteousness and remembering. He said, remember thee and thy ways. Behold, thou art wroth, for we have sinned. In those is continuance, we shall be saved. You see, when we begin to remember, not only do we remember our Savior, but we'll remember our sin. Sometimes we're not as thankful as we ought to be because we're not as thankful as we ought to be. We ought to just stop and think. Just stop and think. When we begin to stop and think, then we'll stop and thank the Lord for what He's done. I honestly believe tonight, if our heart is right and our spirit is right, it changes even the way a peanut butter cracker tastes. We realize even, you know, I had to take me a shower this afternoon. I was soaking wet when I left here this morning. But I didn't take a shower because I got soaking wet. I took a shower because of piece of Miss Eve's ice cream cake, when I was trying to cut it in my bowl, it decided it wanted to go north and east while that the fork was going south and west. Amen. And I had it all over me. But you know, when you stop and think, sometimes we look at a shirt and all we see is the spot. When we ought to see the shirt. And realize there are a lot of people that don't have a shirt. By the way, that's the same way we are with one another. If we're not careful, we'll look at each other and all we'll see is the spots. We've all got our faults. But hallelujah, we have a Savior that looks beyond our faults and sees our need. Amen. Tonight, church, God wants us to remember. Remember our sin. You say, preacher, what do you mean, remember it? Remember who delivered us from it. Amen. And remember that God wants to give revival. There's a preparation, but let me give you this, and I think we'll uncouple right here tonight after this. There's a desperation in this prayer of Isaiah's, oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens. There's a revelation involved. There's preparation involved. But then there's got to be a determination involved. We've got 2 weeks till revival. How many knows they're going to fly by? How many believes time is flying? Amen. It's flying. 2 weeks. You say, preacher, what do you see here? I see right here. Look at verse number 7 with me for just a moment. The Bible said, and there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. Here's the word God wants me to use right here. The word determination. Brother Wayne, what God wants us to do is get it in our heart right here, right now, right here tonight. Brother Andy, that Lord, that's not going to be said of our church in this revival. We're going to determine that by the grace of God, Brother Gary, it's not going to be said there was none that called on the Lord. There was none that stirred up himself to take hold of thee. We're going to have a Holy Ghost determination. Say, God, I can't speak for anybody else, but I'm going to be one that's going to call on you. I'm going to be one that's going to be stirred up to take hold of thee. A determination. It's not going to happen without determination. There's a lot of people just kind of wandering through life aimlessly. But I tell you something right now, when you determine that by the grace of God, by the grace of God, I'm only one person, but thank God I am one. And one can make a difference. And you ought to be saying the same thing. You're going to a country with literally millions and millions of people, Brother Mike, and you're only one man. But thank God you are one. And I'll tell you one thing right now. You're a giant when you look at the one that's living on the inside. Amen. Amen. And so is everybody in this building that has Jesus. Brother Ron, there's no man. He said, I can't find a one. You'll read it in the rest of the chapter. We'll go there Wednesday night. Things are in a mess. Read about the desolation. But the Bible said here, there's none that calleth upon thy name. There's none. There's not one. Isaiah said, I cannot find one that stirreth up himself to take a hold of thee. You know what we need? We need some Jacobs to grab him, brother. Say, Lord, I ain't turning you loose. Do you bless me? He said, preacher, that's awful selfish. Not if you think about it right. Listen to me, church. I hope and pray to God that when you're praying for your pastor, you'll say, God, bless him. Bless him real good. I ask God to bless me. He said, preacher, why would you do that? Because the only way I'll ever be able to be a blessing is if he first blesses me. I want to be a blessing. But I can't be a blessing without him. In order to be a blessing, we have to have the blesser to bless us. And the emphasis is not put in this verse of scripture on the blessing. It's put on the blesser. There's none that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. There needs to be a determination. I'm going to say this tonight. I'm not trying to be ugly. But if you're not determined to even attend the revival, you won't. If you're just going to wait until Monday night and see if you feel like it. I'm not trying to be ugly. But give us, Lord, a dose of that old-fashioned Holy Ghost grit. That determination. Say, Lord, if I can be there, I'm going to be there for the glory of God. If I can pray between now and then, I will pray. I will spur up myself to take a hold of thee. Brother Mike, Brother Johnny, I'll be introducing you to it. He gave me a piece of literature a while ago, brother. And it's not only for teenagers, but there's another one written at a different level for children. Brother Eddie, I know well enough to know if they're inviting men like this to put articles in it, it's probably a pretty good publication. I also know him well enough to know if it wasn't a pretty good publication, he wouldn't be putting articles in it. But guess what the title of it is, Annie? Amen. The title of it's Glowing in the Dark. Yeah, amen. That's what I told him. I said, brother, I believe God's going to use this just to help us to knock some more holes in the darkness. Amen. Glowing in the dark. He said, preacher, what are you trying to say tonight? It's really not what I'm trying to say, but what God's trying to say to us tonight. It's revival time. God, help us to be desperate. God, deliver us from just another meeting. I will guarantee you that by the time revival gets here, I will already be exhausted. Amen. But I'm going to guarantee you this. God will help me. I'm going to get a hold of Him. And if God will help me, I will work righteousness. Amen. Amen. Anybody behind besides me in some areas of your life? Is there anybody running a little bit behind? Well, God wants to slow down, don't He? Brother Brian. Amen. I don't know if He wants the slow sign or if He wants the stop sign. I'm not sure. Amen. But I know this. He'll bless us if we'll be obedient to Him. Whatever He says, just do it. If He says, skip this meal, just go out yonder and think about the people that don't have anything to eat. You know, I could be ashamed of myself right here. Years ago, I started drinking filtered water and bottled water. And now, if I just get city water, it's almost like I'm drinking out of a swimming pool. That's what it tastes like, the chlorine in it. How many knows what I'm talking about? Anybody besides me? And you know, I have, Brother Joe, been guilty of getting a big drink of that in my mouth and just spit it out. I couldn't hardly swallow it. But Brother Mike, how many people in this world give anything for what I just spit out? What they're drinking is more like sewer than water. Amen. All I'm trying to say is tonight, church, God's been good to us. Let's not forget it. Let's remember. Amen. And let's stir up ourselves. God didn't say, Lord, stir me up. No, He said, keep yourselves in the love of God. Amen. And in this verse of Scripture, He said, stir up yourself. There's no man that stirreth up himself to take a hold of Thee. There needs to be a preparation for revival. But there needs to be a determination. Lord, I'm not going to turn loose of You till You do something. I've got visits to make. I've got visits to make down below the house where there's lost people. How many got them lost people on your mind? Brother Kyle, between now and revival, if I need to go with you on the mountain, I'll go with you. We'll beg Papa. We'll beg him. We're going to beg people to get right with God. Amen. God wants to say to us tonight, oh, that Thou wouldest rend the heavens. How many believes it'll be all right if He comes down? Amen. If He comes down, it'll be all right. It'll be all right. Let's pray tonight. Father, thank You tonight for the privilege to be here. The precious people of Bible Way Baptist Church. God, I realize tonight that we are Your people. Lord, we're the sheep of Your pasture. I realize tonight, our Father, that God, You want us to have revival. God, we pray tonight that You'd stir our hearts. God, that we'd stir up our own selves to take hold of Thee. God, would You finger around in those embers, Lord, that sometimes they seem like they're covered in ashes. Help us to remember, Lord, where You found us. Help us to remember, Lord, where we're headed. Lord, we are Your children tonight. I may come and gather in this altar tonight and say, God, help me to have a heart that's prepared. Help my home to be a home, Lord, where You could pour out that revival.